just because something isn't a lie does not mean that it isn't deceptive. A liar knows that he's a liar, but one who speaks mere portions of truth in order to deceive is a craftsman of destruction. And this week's opening quote comes from Chris Jami. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And I'm back in the Amazon jungle, folks, so I apologize in advance for any bird and insect noises you may hear throughout the evening show, but that's just the way it goes when in the jungle. And I also apologize for the lack of content last week. I wasn't able to release a show last week simply because I was traveling, and when I got to the jungle, when I arrived here, there was no internet, as is very often the case. The funny thing with having internet in the Amazon jungle is that when it drops out, you can't really complain because, well, here you are in the jungle and you've got the internet, which is quite miraculous to begin with. So when it drops out, it just is what it is. The Craftsman of Destruction. What a truly apt and fitting title for our governments, folks, for our politicians. And really, it's quite an amazing system they've constructed because the pure simplicity of it is what prevents people from ever escaping it. But at the same time, what is most positive about that is that once you can see the simplicity of the system and how it works, it is quite easy to free yourself from it. Because it's all just fiction, folks. It's all just legal fiction that constrains and binds us. It's all just people believing they have a right of ownership over others and us agreeing that they do have a right of ownership through the things that we do and the things that we say, not even knowing that we're doing this when we're doing it. It's just a very deceptive system, and it's been constructed to be that way. And it's so simple that most people simply can't see the forest for the trees. But the art of deception, folks, is certainly something that ensnares most of us in the modern world. This entire system is based on deception. And as it said in the opening quote, just because something isn't a lie does not mean it isn't deceptive. And so much about this system acts in that very way. There's so much about it that is deceptive. It may appear truthful on the surface, but it's ultimately based in a lie because pretty well everything about this system is based in a lie. The legal system is based in a lie, legal fiction, the stuff that we all call law, which isn't really law at all, it's simply stuff that politicians make up. All of this is hugely deceptive, and this is what is used to ensnare and control us. And really what it comes down to, as I've said so many times on the show, is a loss of self. It's a loss of people's real understanding of who and what they are that even allows this system to perpetuate and continue. It's people's failure to recognize who and what they are, their loss of this knowledge anyway, which is allowing this smart grid to be rolled out. And really all you've got to do is look at the education system and see that people are being led into this. People are being trained to forget who and what they are, and they're even being removed of the tools with which to claim who and what they are, such as handwriting and the knowledge of spelling. US schools aren't teaching grammar anymore, because they don't want people to understand how words work, and they're not teaching cursive in school anymore either. And people may argue whether cursive is a good thing or a bad thing, but cursive does allow you to sign your name, and it does allow you to sign lawful documents. And without a knowledge of cursive, you're not able to sign such documents. And, you know, if you're going to look at the law as being all legal fiction and you're going to allow that fiction to control you and you want to find some way through that fiction, well, the least thing you need to know how to do is to sign your name. And that's why this knowledge is being removed from kids in schools. They don't want people to know how to sign their name. You can just use a digital signature. And they don't want people to understand how words work, and so they are removing grammar from the education system. And again, wanting to even use cursive may seem like a strange thing to people, but allowing you to sign your name allows you to fill out things such as affidavits and make claims against the government. And if you make a claim against the government or against a member of the government, it's far more effective than any other thing you can do. You know, if you're going to believe that their legal fiction is in any way real and does constrain you in any way, and you're not going to step outside of it completely and throw your license and all this stuff away and simply put your own plates on your car and drive that way, then you are in the system, whether you deny you are or not. And so you need to be able to sign your name, because signing your name allows you to do things such as make claims against the government and file liability notices against certain members of government. But of course, if you're actually signing your name, that's not really the right terminology, so I probably should correct myself there, because what you would be doing would be autographing these documents, because that also has connotations within the legal fiction system that you are attempting to combat. But even in doing so, in order to autograph the document, you need to know how to write in cursive. And this is why children are not being taught this in modern schools. But again, it's within the fiction that lies the remedy to the fiction. If you are going to believe in the fiction at all, then that's where the remedy is found. It's just knowing how to use it. Again, if you're going to believe the legal fiction restrains you, then it's best to use that legal fiction against those who are seeking to constrain you, which can be done simply by knowing how to sign your name. And as I said, making a claim against the government, folks, don't complain about what they do. Make a claim about what they do. If a government member does something to harm you, if a politician enacts legislation and it harms you in some way, make the claim. Now, this person has signed this legislation into law and it has caused certain hardships in my life. Therefore, this politician is doing harm. Here is the evidence to prove it. Lodge it as an affidavit and then make a claim against the man. He can't do anything about that. There's nowhere for him to go. You make a claim against damages he has done against you by drafting legislation which has caused harm, and that's how you get them. You can't get them by making a complaint. The lawyer will love you to make a complaint. It gives them lots of money. A lawyer cannot even make a claim because a lawyer does not appear as a man. Only a man, a living man or a living woman, can make a claim. So you need to make a claim against government for the harm that they are doing to you. This is the same sort of idea that's going forth with the liability notices that the Empower Movement is doing. It's making the claim and lodging it as an affidavit so it becomes a truth in law, and then the politicians have nowhere to go. And that's what we need to do, folks. We need to start making claims against these people and calling them for what they are. That's the only way we're going to heal this situation. But of course, in order for you to be able to do that, you need to understand how the language works and you need to be able to sign your name. Which is why this information is being removed from children, why it isn't being taught in school anymore. Too many people are waking up, folks, and so they don't want those who are waking up to have the tools they need in order to establish freedom. It's like in the book 1984, when everybody knew there was something terribly wrong with the system and everyone knew they wanted to rebel, but there was no word in the language to communicate that to people. The word rebel didn't exist. The word revolution didn't exist. The word dissent didn't exist. So even though you have these concepts, there's no way to communicate them to other people. It's the same with this system. Even though you know it's all fiction, if they remove from you the understanding of the language and the ability to write your name, then you have no means of escaping the system and you have no reference point for what that escape method should even be. And really, folks, as I've so often said in the past, what we're really facing here is a spiritual battle and a loss of self. And what we are experiencing at the hands of the politicians is abuse of office. All of these people are in abuse of the office that they hold. This is why when you make a claim against a politician for the harm that he has done, you are recognizing the fact that he has given himself powers that he has no right to have. He has written legislation that causes harm, which he has no right to do. He has abused the office that he holds to grant himself powers that he has no right to have and that he did not get permission from us to grant himself. It's as simple as that. I mean, government says that it serves the people. All democratic governments claim that they have power that is delegated to them by the people. But if you do not have the power to do a certain thing, then how can you delegate that power to a politician? You can't. The politician simply makes it up and claims that his office gives him the power to enact legislation and perform actions that he has no right to perform from legislation he has no right to enact in the first place. It's all an abuse of office, and the problem is that we complain about this all the time, we petition about it all the time, but we never make the claim for the damages that have been caused by the actions of the individual who holds the office, who drafted the legislation. That is where the remedy lies. And there really has to be some point where you step back and ask the question, what does government even do? Why do we even need government to be there in the first place? Well, a lot of people would say, well, we need government there to protect us. We need them there for national security. But when you look at all the wars are simply governments facing off against each other. If it wasn't for the governments, there wouldn't be any wars. So who would they be protecting us against? You know, all countries that have governments need an enemy, because without an enemy, you don't need government. That's the purpose of government, is to create enemies so that we think we need these people. You know, a couple of months ago or a month ago, the US government shut down for a few days. Did anybody notice? Did anybody notice that these people weren't in charge, they weren't there? All it meant was there was no new legislation drafted, there were no new taxes brought online, and there were no new hardships introduced to repress the rights of the people. That's all it meant. You know, we have certain mechanisms in place. We have an education mechanism. We have a mechanism of construction where we have roads and infrastructure built for us. We have mechanisms whereby we have transport, flights, airports, all this sort of stuff. None of these need government to function. None of them. All government does is get in the way. Government sits above all of the mechanisms that society has and says, well, you can all only operate under the conditions that we dictate, and you all have to give us a cut of everything that you do. That is what government does. Really, when you step back and look at it, government is racketeering in its most purest form. That's all it is. It's a bunch of opportunists who've maneuvered themselves into positions of power, and they've turned politics, which used to be a position that someone took for a little while just to manage things and then went back into the general public to be replaced by somebody else. Now they've turned that into a career path for the ultra corrupt. And all they do is milk the wealth of the people and further enslave the people and create all of the hardship that we currently face on this earth. You know, all of the corporate degradation, all of the environmental destruction, all of the wars, all of the stuff that happens is all the result of what these guys write on paper, which allows it all to happen. And it's really important that we look at that. You know, without these people there, we wouldn't need armies. We wouldn't need to defend ourselves against other countries. We wouldn't need any of the stuff that they tell us we do need. We'd actually probably have some form of real education system. We'd actually probably be able to have permaculture gardens and actually save this world that we live on and stop turning it into a wasteland. We'd be able to do all of these things. We'd actually be free were it not for the actions of government. And these governments constrain us through their legal fiction, and in our attempts to do something about it, we run around like hens with our heads cut off bumping into each other because we simply can't see the forest for the trees, and we never think about using the fiction against the people who are using the fiction against us by simply identifying them as people, men and women of flesh and blood, who are all in abuse of the office they hold by granting themselves powers they don't have. And we never seek retribution. We never make any claims against the damages these people who hold these positions of office do to us, because it is the personal actions of these individuals within these offices that are to blame for the problems that we face. Our problem is when we attempt to seek remedy in this, we go against the government or against the ministry of this or the ministry of that or the department of whatever, rather than the individual who sits in the seat, who put his wet ink signature on that paper, and for the hardship he has caused by his actions and the abuse of office that he has committed by enacting that legislation in the first place, because that legislation causes harm. We can identify that fact, we can outline the harm it causes, we can lodge it as an affidavit so it becomes a truth in law, and then we can send it to the politician and say, hey you, we are now going to hold you liable for your actions. You know, and even doing that is a regaining something of our humanity. You know, it's at least regaining the backbone to stand up for ourselves, and that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to stand up for ourselves again, folks. That's the first step. Be aware of who and what you are. Regain a knowledge of self. Be aware of what you are, be aware of the power that you have, and be aware of what this system is that constrains you, because it's all an illusion, the whole thing. And not only is it an illusion, but it is criminal, pure and simple. It's criminal. It's entrapment. Even the fact that they ensnare you with your birth certificate and your name and the all capitals dog Latin version of your name that they give you, they make you get a license to perform the most everyday of activities, such as moving from A to B. All of these things that they do, this isn't just an illusion. It's criminal, folks. It's a slavery system. It's a system that is designed to curtail and constrain every single aspect of human thought. And as it moves further into becoming a smart system and becoming a smart system that is run by a social crediting system designed to grant you privileges according to what your political outlook is and what your compliance to social political correctness is, then it gets worse and worse. It gets more and more dehumanized. And this is what we're being led into. But even in that, we need to recognize what has led us here. And it's the actions of these politicians. It's the actions of these individuals that hold these positions of power and the legislation they're enacting. You know, when I talk about harm being done to you, this has been done in so many ways. You know, the chemtrails and all this sort of stuff, there's all the conspiracy theory stuff, if that's what you want to call it, all of the fringe stuff that we're trying to address. But then the simple matter of the 5G, the damages this is doing, the simple matter that there's legislation in place to prevent you from having a garden in your front yard. You know, there's legislation in place to constrain us in the most everyday human activities, and all of these things can be addressed by realizing that the politicians that prevent us from doing these things have no right to do so. They're just people, folks. Of course they have no right to control your life. Of course they have no right to stop you on the side of the road and confiscate your belongings or confiscate your vehicle because you don't hold a piece of paper signed by them. Of course they have no right to do any of this. The problem is that we always identify them as government or agents of the government, and we never identify them as simply being living men and women. And that's what we need to do. You know, sure, go along with it. If you get in a situation where you're going to be subject to violence if you don't comply, then comply. Go with them. I'm not saying get yourself into trouble. You know, do whatever it takes to get yourself out of the custody of these people as quickly as possible and get yourself back into a position where you can start to take action. But after you've gotten yourself out of whatever situation you're in, file the affidavit and lodge a claim against these people, because that's what we need to do with all of them. That's what everybody needs to do. These claims need to be coming from everybody. Everybody who recognizes the fact that this government and all of our governments are criminal kakistocracies needs to start filing claims against the individuals who sit in these positions of so-called power and start holding them liable for their actions. We all need to do this, folks. We really do. You know, we start standing up for ourselves, we can stop this smart grid coming online. Because the problem is, once it becomes all AI and all becomes run by an algorithm, there's not going to be anybody to lodge the claims against. So we need to start lodging these claims against the individuals in office right now and hold them accountable for their actions in order to stop this smart grid rolling out. You know, we need to rally the forces. Everyone needs to get involved and everyone needs to start taking action in the form of claims, affidavits and liability notices to all the politicians who are involved in this entire smart mess that is coming online. You know, as I've always said, non-compliance is the best way out of this system, but at the moment it's getting a little bit past that because there's not too many ways people are not going to comply with this smart grid. What we need is action as well as non-compliance, and the action needs to be directed towards the politicians who are enacting the legislation. It needs to be directed at holding individuals accountable for their actions, individual men and women. Stop thinking about this as government, as this thing that is untouchable, and start looking at those who sit in the offices and the abuse of office that all of these criminals are currently in. And that is pretty well every politician on this earth, folks. Anyone who has not addressed these issues now, anyone who has supported this whole slavery system to begin with, anyone who agrees in the whole slavery mechanism that's been set up by the birth certificate and the UCC system and all of it, anyone who hasn't spoken out about this is criminal and is liable. And it's time we address this fact while we still have the opportunity to do so, folks. Because as I said, once it turns into all AI, that opportunity is going to be lost. Because there will be no one to lodge these claims against, and even the mere fact of lodging one of these claims may just get you blacklisted by the algorithm, and suddenly you'll find you are banned from certain essential services. So we need to start taking action, folks, and I think that doing this is one way to get things started. At least it's one way to get people motivated. You know, you've got to understand that a lot of people believe the system is real. A lot of people believe the legal fiction is real. So encouraging them and empowering them with the knowledge of how to use that legal fiction against the system itself has got to be a positive thing. And it's also going to have the effect of slowing the system down quite considerably if people are just prepared to get involved and get involved on the ground now while they have the opportunity to do it. It's time to rise up, folks. It's time to identify this problem and rise up and hold these people accountable for their actions. The whole world needs to start doing this. Mankind needs to make a stand. And the time to do that is now, and we need to do it by every mechanism that is available to us. Making claims, affidavits, and liability notices are a good place to start. They're a good place to start for the average man on the street because, as I said, at least you are using a system that they believe is real and one that they can identify with. And sure, look, I know that's not the be-all and the end-all. It's not the ultimate answer that's going to save everything. But you start holding these politicians and these installers of this system and these ministers personally accountable, financially liable for their actions, and you're going to start seeing some politicians doing some about faces and did some backflips pretty quickly. Because once it comes to them and they become personally, financially liable for their actions, they start to think twice about what they're doing. You know, they only get away with what they do because they hide under cover of government. They hide under position of the office that they hold, under cover of the office that they hold. But it's actually the individual in there who's making the decision and signing his name to the document, regardless of the minister or politician he is acting as. Ultimately, what it comes down to is a man or woman of living flesh and blood sitting in a chair who's taking rights away from you, and you're not having any response to this, not any way of responding to it, because all you're doing is complaining or petitioning them and asking them to please be kinder to you, when what you've got to realize is that they have no right to do what they do anyway, and you don't have to ask them to be kinder. You know, if I came to your house and knocked on your door and gave you a set of rules and said, if you don't comply with this, then I'm going to have my friend come over, beat you up, arrest you, put you in a cage, you wouldn't let me do it. And if I proceeded to do anything like that and I hurt you, you would file a claim against me. And that's what you need to do with the politicians. And they all know this, folks. They all know how it works. Every judge, every lawyer, every police officer, every politician, they all know how it works. You know that if you go into a courtroom, you are the only registered entity in the courtroom. If you enter that courtroom as a defendant, you are the only registered entity in that courtroom. Have a look at the court documents and look at the police officers. They're all listed there as non-registered entities. So none of them are liable for anything. None of them are there for any reason other than to milk the wealth of you. Now, you've gone in there and presented yourself as a corporate entity, as a chattel of the state, and basically thrown yourself at the mercy of the court, and they can do whatever they want to you. It's a scam. The whole thing is a scam. Even the name on the document that they got you into the court with is a scam. The fact that your name is spelt with your last name first and your first name last and is spelled in all capital letters. This is dog Latin. This is not a valid form of text. It doesn't appear in any English manual as a form of English text. It's a text found on tombstones. You're going in there claiming that this dog Latin is your name and that you are too stupid to speak for yourself, so you need someone else to speak for you. So of course they're going to do whatever they want. And what you've got to realize is that you're not going in there as a chattel. You need to go in there as a living man, and you need to ask these people who the hell they think they are in no uncertain terms. Well, in the right terms anyway. You need to go in there and tell them that you're not impressed with their behavior, and you'd like to know what claim of ownership they have over you. And there are ways of doing this in the right way, folks. Like I said, I'm not attempting to get anybody in trouble here, but we've got to realize what we're dealing with. You know, we're dealing with a criminal class. And as I've said so often lately, whatever plan you have to lead us to a bright future, whatever plan you have for any world-changing invention you've come across or any world-changing initiative such as permaculture or anything you want to do, you won't get any of it through. You won't get any of it to come to anywhere near where it needs to be, and none of it will ever be pushed forward until you factor into the equation and factor into your plans the fact, the provable fact, that this world is run by criminals who are going to openly attempt to prevent you doing anything that you want to do unless they get a cut. And they're never going to allow you to do anything that will actually change the system, because if you do change the system and you create something that is in any way self-sufficient or in any way supportive of the people, they will not let you do it, because that takes control from them. And this in itself is an abuse of office. It is a slavery system. We are living in a situation of people farming by the ultra corrupt, a ruling cacistocracy who has maneuvered themselves into power, and we need to identify this fact, rise up and hold these people accountable for their actions. Rise up and change this world. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do it. We can rise up right now and change the direction this world is going if we just choose to recognize the power that we have, empower those around us, and stand up together. And even if all the people don't stand up, if enough people start sending in these claims against government and these liability notices against government for every action they perform, every criminal action they perform, and most of it is, folks, as I've said, the mere underlying fact that you are enslaved into this people farming system by your birth certificate and this corrupt money system and everything blah, blah, blah that goes along with it, the mere fact that government is the way it is indicates that they're all guilty from the onset anyway. So I wouldn't really worry about that. But just by identifying that fact and identifying the fact that you have power and you can lodge these notices against all these people makes a difference. And that will change things. And we don't need everybody to do it. You know, and like I said, it's not the be-all and end-all, but at least it's going to empower people. Hopefully it will empower you, who is listening to this, with some tool that you can use. You know, I get so many emails from people saying, I'm really annoyed with this system, I'm really upset with what's going on, the people around me aren't waking up and I don't know what to do. Well, here's what you can do. Lodge claims against these people for the damages that they're causing and hold them liable for their actions. We all have the ability to do this, and they have nowhere to go if people do take this path. As I said, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it's going to slow things down. At least it may make people aware of what's really going on here. At least it may be able to be used to stop these vaccination programs and this incredibly corrupt education system. Perhaps we'll be able to teach some life skills to our children again if we actually start standing up for them. Perhaps we'll get some freedom if we actually start standing up for ourselves and stop waiting to be saved. You know, that's the problem. Everybody's waiting to be saved, whether it's a religious savior or whether it's simply someone to come along on a big white horse with a big shiny set of armor on like Donald Trump. You know, it's not going to happen, folks. Trump's a player. They're all players. All these politicians are players. Look at the world. Trump was supporting Israel in the bombing of Syria the other day. Nice to see an Israeli plane get shot down, of course. And what did Israel say? They said it was interference by Iran. Let me get this right. So Israel is carrying out an illegal bombing campaign against the sovereign nation of Syria. Syrian air defenses shoot the Israeli plane down using equipment they were given from Russia, and they blame it on Iran interfering with the democratic process. Interesting how that works, isn't it? That's called double standards, folks, and that's called propaganda in its most purest form. I mean, I do feel sorry for the Israeli pilot. I do feel sorry for anybody who gets shot down anywhere, but the plane shouldn't have been over Syria. Israel shouldn't be attempting to make sure that war continues. Israel should be doing the right thing, and it certainly hasn't done that since its formation. But anyway, going a little bit off topic there just before the break, because we have reached break time, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. And we'll go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening, and don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as I said somewhere during the first half of the show, you know, what we're really facing here is a spiritual battle, and that may seem like an odd statement to make for many people. But really, it's stepping through that spiritual barrier that prevents you from really understanding who and what you are and putting yourself in the correct emotional state to deal with this situation that is the most empowering thing you can do. You know, to be willing to speak out, you kind of have to step outside what this system believes you to be, and very often outside the mental constructs we have of what we are and what our powers are and what our place in the system is. You know, try to step outside of the system and realize that what you're dealing with here is men and women, just people, just like you. And there's nothing really special about these people, and what we're facing is a situation where people who we have appointed to manage infrastructure for us are in abuse of the office that they hold. And there's plenty of ways of taking action against this by making claims against these people. I mean, especially in the United States, I mean, as I've so often said, every politician in the United States has to sign the AIPAC pledge in order to get funding to run for office. So they essentially pledge allegiance to a foreign power in order to get funding to run for a political position in the United States. And through this mechanism, you find the United States is constantly fighting wars for Israel. And you are now in a situation where the United States is funding Israel to the tune of around about $11 million a day in so-called aid. So what if someone in the United States was to file an affidavit making the claim that this certain politician, whoever you choose, happens to be committing treason due to his pledge of allegiance to a foreign power before running for office in the United States, and that he has therefore acted in a conflict of interest and has worked to remove wealth and funding from the people of the United States and send it to a foreign power, and he has personally contributed by voting yes on aid packages to this foreign nation, which is not only committing open war crimes in as much as it is in clear breach of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, indicating this particular politician to be supporting war crimes himself and therefore a war criminal himself, but not only while this nation is committing these war crimes, it is in the process of impoverishing the people of the United States to the tune of $11 million a day. So what if someone was to lodge an affidavit along those lines and was to claim damages against this politician for the hardship and impoverished situation this decision has put you into and has put the rest of the country into, and the hardship that you are suffering due to this loss of support for your own community by politicians who've been elected to actually care for their communities and the constituents that they represent? And not only that, but politicians who stand in open treason simply due to their signing of the AIPAC pledge. What if every politician who had signed the AIPAC pledge was to have such an affidavit lodged against them? How would they be able to combat that? Because the fact of the matter is that what you've lodged in that affidavit is the simple truth. And unless these politicians can debunk that truth, then it stands as an affidavit in law and therefore becomes a truth in law. And all of these politicians can be liable for their actions if they cannot debunk or prove that affidavit you have lodged to be false, which they can't because it isn't. It's simply stating the facts as being the way they are, getting it notarized and lodging it as a truth in law, which gives you the ability to basically call these people out for what they are and hold them accountable for their actions. So people should start making claims against these politicians, ladies and gentlemen. You really should, because these politicians are not doing the right thing. And unless we can claim the facts of this matter and lodge these as truths in law and let them sit there and see if they can be debunked, which they can't, then these politicians are going to continue to get away with what they're doing. Now, we can stand up for ourselves, folks. We have to do it in the right way. Baby steps. Like I said, a lot of people believe the system is real. So these people need baby steps. And really, this is a baby step. But for some people, it's a really, really huge thing to do. Just to take this responsibility on their back and just to garner the courage to actually lodge an affidavit like this takes a lot of strength for a lot of people. And as I said, you need to get these notarized in order to lodge them as affidavits. And if you come across a notary or a justice of the peace who will not notarize this for you, demand to see him. Demand to find out who this person who is claiming he can prevent you from making a claim is, and then make a claim against him as well. That's another way around that situation. A little bit of thunder there, folks. Looks like we may have a reasonable sized storm on the way here in the jungle. So I do hope the connection and the power holds and I'm able to continue recording this show. But yeah, we need to begin taking action against these politicians, ladies and gentlemen. We really do, because the AI is rolling out in leaps and bounds, and once the AI comes online, there will be no one to take action against. That's the problem. You know, when you look at the social crediting system that's coming in China, the way people are being barred from certain services, finding themselves not qualified for certain services due to their political opinions, and there is no appeal process for these people. So that's the situation. Even though you've got people in the system that are working things to a degree, if you get barred from certain services, locked out of certain essential services because you're not qualified and there's no one to appeal to, you can ring up the company, you can ring up the train station, ring up the airline company, whatever, and they don't know. The people on the other end of the phone don't know anything about it. They don't know what to do. They don't know who to contact. All they know is that there's a black mark against your name and they're not allowed to sell you a ticket. So that's the problem that we get. You know, and the way it's going with the whole AI thing, self-driving cars and everything they want to bring in, the people have to reject all of this. People have to realize that what is being rolled out is not being rolled out to provide them convenience. It's not being rolled out to provide them safety. It's being rolled out to provide the ruling kakistocracy with every means of controlling people that they can possibly get. That's what all this is about. And very notably, folks, it's all rolling out through Israel. This whole AI thing, the whole artificial intelligence, the smart grid, all of it is rolling out through Israel. That's who's controlling the whole thing. And when you look at the track record of Israel, you look at the mentality of the Israeli culture that views the world as being two types of people, Jews and Goyim, and that the Goyim are there to serve the Jews. I mean, this is in their own religious text. I'm not being anti-Semitic here, folks. This is simply the way these people think. And these are the people who are rolling out this whole AI smart system. These are the people who are going to be in control of it. These are the people who staged the 9/11 attacks. These are the people who manufactured World War I and World War II. These are the people who carried out the worst holocausts in history, such as the slaughter of 66 million Christians in Russian gulags at the hands of Bolshevik Jews. These are the people who are running ISIS. These are the people who staged the entire fake war of terror. These are the people who have stolen technology from every country on earth. These are the people who are carrying out genocide against the people of Palestine and stealing the rest of their country. These are the people who have organized the mass influx of migrants into Europe, according to the 1928 Jewish Kalergi Plan, which talks about genociding the people of Europe via mass migration. These are the people who have constructed the war in Syria, according to Oded Yinin's plan for Greater Israel. These are the people who will be running all of this technology. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. As this technology is rolling out, these people are themselves referring to it as disruptive technology. And these people have absolutely no regard for humankind. They have no compassion, no sense of value at all towards anybody who is a non-Jew. And these are the people who are controlling all of our governments, and these are the people who will be running all of this technology. So if you buy into this convenience, if you buy into this smart grid, if you're an activist out there and you access the internet and surf YouTube and Facebook and do all these things on a smartphone rather than a computer, then don't complain about the system. Don't pretend you're an activist, because you're not. You may be an activist on the surface, but if you are using a smartphone for all these things, then you are supporting this smart grid. You are leading yourself into this smart grid. And that may seem a little harsh to people, but ultimately it's the truth, because the tech is the smart grid. The tech is the new world order. And really, if you think about it, folks, the only reason you're accessing the internet on a smartphone is because it's far more convenient for you to do so. It's far more convenient to use your smartphone than to take a laptop with you and to have to find an internet connection and all that sort of stuff. That's the way they do it, ladies and gentlemen. They make it convenient for you to use their slavery devices, and that's what people are doing. And I still travel the world, and I still don't have a credit card, and I still don't have a smartphone. So, you know, people say to me, well, how could I watch your stuff if I didn't have a smartphone? Well, folks, I do it. I have access to all the stuff. I can watch the internet everywhere I go, and I don't own a smartphone. And I can check into motels and do all the things and travel the way I do, and I don't own a credit card. And I never will use either of those two things, folks. So you don't have to be part of the system if you don't want to. It's a choice. And if you make that choice to use a smartphone and to use these smart devices, and as I said, don't pretend you're an activist. Don't even bother speaking out against the system, because you are supporting it by your very actions. And people need to pay attention to this. We need to watch where we're being led, folks, because this is rolling out very, very quickly. This whole system is rolling out very, very quickly. And we have a window now. We could start making claims against these people that are doing this stuff. We could start making valid claims against virtually every member of government who's supporting the rogue state of Israel and who is supporting the rollout of this smart grid. And all we have to do is pick up a pen, write out an affidavit, lodge it, get involved, you know, actually take action in the real world. There's more to life than sitting on your computer and tapping a few keys and sending emails to people and posting images and watching YouTube videos. You know, we have to get involved in the real world, because it is in the real world that this is happening. And pretty soon all this is going to be rolled out. And as I've said so often, people are going to look up from their research and wonder how they suddenly find themselves in this digital prison, in this smart prison, because it's something that's rolling out underneath the surface while they're distracted with all of the theatrics that society provides them to be distracted by. And let's face it, everybody is upset with government. Everybody's annoyed with government. I'm sure you people out there listening to this are quite upset with government yourself. And wouldn't you just love to take action against them? Wouldn't you love to feel like you had some power and there was something you could actually do? Well, there is. You can make a claim against these people. You can claim for the damages that these people have done to your life by believing they have a right of ownership over you. All you have to do is stand up and do it, folks. That's all you have to do. Realize that what you're dealing with is people. I've said this so many times, you know. You don't have to look at the ministry of whatever or the department of whatever and think that it is this big leviathan that you can't deal with, because in that department are people sitting at desks who have names, and they are men and women of flesh and blood, and you can claim against the damages they have done to you. You can. You can claim for damages. Like I said earlier, if I was to come and hurt you, you would make a claim against me. Now, how can you live your life in a state of hardship, in a state of struggle the way you are, and not see that there is someone responsible for that and that there is action that you can take against that? Because what is done to you by government is not something you can do to other people. That's the thing. That's the key point you've got to look at. You know, if you were to go and put someone in a state of hardship the way government does to you, you would be liable for crimes. You would have claims put against you. You would be charged with crimes. Yet government does it, and we don't do anything because we never make the claim that we are damaged by their actions. Now, we are. We're all damaged by their actions. We're all forced to live in this slavery system. We all have to pay to be alive. We're all struggling because of the actions of government. You know, we're fighting wars, all of this stuff. I mean, everything they do, folks. Everybody is annoyed with them. Everybody wants to find some way to deal with these people. Everyone is sick of their politicians and wants to find a way through it. Well, here's the way through it. Start claiming for the damages that these people have done and treat them as men and women, living men and women of flesh and blood, because that's what they are. Forget about the office that they hold. When you send a letter to Malcolm Turdfall in Australia, don't send it to the Prime Minister of Australia. Screw that. That's just a position. That's just a office that the man sits in. Send a letter to the man, send a letter to Malcolm Turdfall and say, hey, you've done wrong and I'm now holding you liable for your actions. Do it to Donald Trump. Do it to all the politicians in the Western world. Do it to Theresa May. Do it to your local council members. Do it to any politician that is causing harm. And guess what, folks? All of them are causing harm. So stand up for yourselves and let's take this world back from these criminal scumbags that are running it. You know, it's really time for us to do this, folks. Now, this is the crossroads we are at now, because once this AI system comes online and becomes fully autonomic, it's game over. And we are right at the gate now. We are right at the very gate where this is about to happen, and the door is swinging shut. If we are not prepared to stand up for ourselves, then we're going to lose the last opportunity we have to do it. You know, and I know these shows have been a little bit desperate lately, but that is why, because this is snowballing now. Everything we've said for years about what's coming online, the New World Order and all this stuff, it's all here now. It's all rolling out right now. It's all rolling out at the hands of Israel. They even admit that they're rolling it out. There was a conference that I watched the other day. Someone sent me a link to of Israeli tech companies sitting around talking about how all this is just rolling out and how disruptive it's going to be to the services that we now have. And they plan it and they love it, and that's what they're doing. And we need to pay attention, folks. We need to stop this now while we have the ability to do it. And, you know, that should be everybody's focus. Pull your head out of your rabbit holes, folks. Stop arguing about what your belief systems are and realize the importance of dealing with this smart grid right now while you have the opportunity to do so, because pretty soon that opportunity will be gone. And when that opportunity is lost, there went our last opportunity to deal with this system through anything other than open revolution, which will cause a lot of bloodshed and will not go in the right way, because by that time, the smart grid will be in place, and the smart grid also can be used against any people who decide to rebel against the system. So now is the time to make a stand, ladies and gentlemen. Now is the time for mankind to rise up and reclaim this world. You know, George Orwell once said, if you want a glimpse of the future, imagine a boot stomping on a human face forever. And that's really the type of system that we're heading into. And when you really think about the implications of a fully autonomic AI system, which everything is run by algorithms, where everyone is monitored by not only what they post now, but what they've posted in the past, all their social media, it's all categorized, it's all controlled by algorithms, it's all correlated, all the data is collected. Data is the currency of the future. Data is everything. Data is what is used, even hashtags. Everything that people do online is what is being used to identify them, identify their personal preferences, identify their social makeup, identify what sort of people that they are, identify who are desirables and who are undesirables. And when you think about a system that simply blacklists you because you don't agree with what the government says, it simply blacklists you and denies you access to essential services simply because of your political views. And there's no appeal process for it. And so by doing that, it virtually criminalizes you. It forces you into a position where you have to commit crime in order to have the basic things that everybody else has. Now, this is the type of system that's coming online. You know, if you dissent in any way or you think outside the box in any way, they can simply bar you from access to certain services and force you into a state of criminality whereby you become an undesirable whether you are or not, even if you had a different opinion to what someone said. Even if you question the actions of politicians, even if you question the direction society is going, if you criticize Israel, if you criticize what's going on in Palestine, if you criticize the merging of the species into 24 specific genders when there's actually only two, if you fail to be politically correct, if you fail to stay within the confines of what the social norm is, you can be penalized. And you will be penalized, and you'll have no appeal process, and you'll therefore be criminalized by default the further you get penalized. And that sort of a situation, it doesn't matter how affluent you are, and as much as it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter how much money you have in real money or in gold or silver or in cryptocurrency or anything, because if you're barred from certain services, you simply have no means of spending it. You could have $100 million of Bitcoin in the bank, but if you can't buy a plane ticket and you can't buy certain foods and you can't travel on certain forms of transport and you can't enter certain places and you can't buy certain things because your person is simply not qualified to do so, then it makes no difference how financially secure you may be. If you can't buy things, then you simply can't buy things. And if they do something like they've done in China, they change the ringtone on your phone so that people who call you get alerted to the fact that they're calling someone who is on the government's credit blacklist, then you suddenly become an outcast by default. You get forced into a situation where you're blacklisted from certain services and people simply don't want to associate with you in case they get blacklisted as well. So what happens then? You'll be forced into a situation where you become an undesirable and you get locked up into the smart prison system, and that's how they deal with dissent. That's the world that is unfolding before us, folks. And there'll be no way of getting away from it because it'll be all self-driving cars, it'll be all retina scans, it'll be all DNA analysis. You know, like I mentioned a few shows ago, there's a new coin that's come out, Luna Coin, where they will actually give you cryptocurrency in exchange for your DNA. Now, what do they want this for? Are we heading to a point where DNA will become your identifying code, where your DNA will become your password, your DNA will give you access to your house, your car, your bank account, essential services, airline tickets, train tickets, all these sorts of things? So how easy is it to completely block you out of essential services when it moves into that direction? And don't think they don't have the capability of doing this, folks, because they do. You know, and the implications of where this system could actually be taken are quite staggering when you really step back and look at it. And the amount of control this will exert over humankind and over human consciousness and human thought and every single aspect of our lives, which will all become pay as you go for every single action we perform. You know, when you really look at the implications of this, folks, this is not a place humanity should be allowing themselves to be led into. And not only that, the kids that are coming out of school, I've said so often lately, they will have no reference point for what freedom looks like, what freedom once was, you know, to what freedom we had. I mean, we've never been free, but we are far freer now than we ever have been, and we are far freer now than what we will be in another 3 to 5 years if we do not do something about this smart system that is rolling out under the guise of convenience. You know, people have got to put these conveniences down, start reading books rather than books on Kindle, start dialing numbers rather than pushing call on their smartphone, start finding their way around their own environments rather than using Google Maps, start talking to people again. Now, we've got to get back to what it means to be human, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to see how technology can benefit us as long as we don't get sucked into the convenience of the smart system, and as long as we take the time to step back and realize that this convenience is not about convenience, it's about control. I mean, sure, there's things we want to do that will be more convenient for us to do that way, and I'm not saying you should go back to the Stone Age and put technology down altogether. There's just certain places we're being led. You know, this whole concept of facial recognition on every device, listening ability on every device, smart fridges, smart toasters, smart everything that listens to everything you do. Your own telephone, your own smartphone registers your fingerprints every time you push it. Your iPad, these iPads, these tablets that people use, they all take your fingerprints. They all have facial recognition built into the platform as you're looking at it. It's running facial recognition programs on you. It's recognizing your fingerprints every time you tap an icon, every time you do these things. Don't think that it isn't taking all this data and collecting all this data and tracking everything that it can about you, folks, because that's what all of this technology is about. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with technology. It's just who is in control of the technology. And in everything that we do, we need to factor into the equation the reality that the world is run by criminals, and these are the people who are in control of the technology, and that is not a good thing. No matter how you look at it, that is not a good thing. Sure, technology would be great, but let's get rid of this ruling criminal class that has done all this rubbish and created all these wars and poisoned humanity to the extent that they have, and put this whole system in place, this immoral, psychopathic system that is virtually a human harvest pool that has been run by these people. Let's take this into account before we start taking anything else into account, before we start trying to find a way out. We have to identify these criminals and take action against them, make claims for what they've done, hold them accountable for their actions, and bring about some sort of sanity in whatever is going to be controlling this system, and lead us back to a point of safety, lead us back to a point where we don't need government, because we don't need government at all anyway. We really don't. All these people do is create problems, and the track record of governments all around the world should stand as all the evidence you need to confirm that fact. I really am tired of these people, folks. I'm really tired of their actions, and I'm really tired of what I see before me, and the fact that there are so few people in the so-called independent media that are talking about these things and that are really addressing the situation that we're facing head-on. Too many people are sitting back waiting to be saved by Trump or QAnon and all of this rubbish that's rolling out. Nobody is paying attention to their surroundings, and it's quite disappointing. But, you know, a lot of people are. A lot of people that listen to this show are. There's a lot of people in the real world that are. Just, unfortunately, not a lot of media personalities who are addressing the right issues. A lot of people seem to be quite purposefully misdirecting people at the moment. And I think it's very important that people look at what's going on beneath the surface of all this and pay attention and alert those that they know to the realities of our situation. Share information yourselves and get the word out to people about what's happening and what action we can take to deal with it. But folks, I think we have reached the end of this show here. We've got a couple of minutes left. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to be speaking in Acapulco this weekend, actually, as this show goes to air. And then I'm going to be speaking in Ireland on March the 4th, I believe. Then I will be speaking in AV9 in England, in the UK, around about May 7th. I may possibly be doing some combo workshops in Holland in the period over March or April as well. I'm not quite sure. I'll also be speaking at Regeneration in LA sometime in late May. I'm not sure of the date yet. And I'll also be speaking at a chemtrail conference in Virginia, I believe on May 26th. And that will be the last talks that I'm doing for a while. There may possibly be some combo workshops that happen in the United States around late May as well, but I'll keep you posted to that as to when the information comes to hand. I really don't have too much to go on at the moment, folks. I'm a little bit up in the air. I'm going to be traveling tomorrow. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be able to bring you a show next week. I may be able to, but it's just going to depend on the situation in Mexico and on travel. I've got a lot of stuff on, so I'll just have to see how I go. But thank you to all those who continue to listen to the show. Thank you to the many people who send me so many supportive emails. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of my Patreon supporters. Again, you are the only people that keep this show on the air. You are the only people that allow me to be able to do this research and be able to bring this information to people. I couldn't do it without you, so thank you for allowing me this space to do this.
and thank you for helping support get this message out. But that is it for me now, folks. I'm completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you. If not next week, then it will be the week after, but it will be as soon as I possibly can. I'll get back on air. And don't lose hope, but do pay attention to this smart grid that's coming online, folks, and don't think you can't take action, because you can. But I look forward to speaking to you as soon as I can, folks. Please take very good care. Until then, in La Cache.